All right. Well, we've been in this series we just started last week called Messy Me. And last week, if you weren't here, I know a lot of you weren't here last week. Something about icy road conditions. We had started a new series last week, and we had some fun. We talked about how I openly shared that I'm a mess. I'm a mess, right? And the truth is that all of us are. We're all messes. And if you don't know the definition of a mess, here's the definition of a mess. Definition of the mess is going to be on the screen. A mess is somebody who's disordered, untidy, offensive, unpleasant, in a sloppy state, a dangerous situation. And I shared a story over Christmas where my mother told me that I was a mess. And in four letters, my mother told me all these things. You are a disordered, untidy mess. And then I started going a little bit deeper into research about this word mess and what it all means. And I found this word hot mess. Hot mess is very, very interesting. It's a person in a state of disarray. They're a mess, but they maintain an undeniable attractiveness or beauty. So go ahead, let's do what we did last week. Everybody turn to the person next to you and go, you're a hot mess. You're a hot mess. Go ahead. You're a hot mess. Somebody just said, I am. Thank you very much, right? It's kind of a term of endearment, right? It's awesome that this next generation of teenagers have changed this horrible, horrible word to something that, you know, could be a badge of honor. But a hot mess is somebody who's truly a mess inside, but on the outside, we appear to be okay. On the outside, we look attractive. On the outside, we look like we have everything together. But there's a problem with that. Is that we have to deal with our messes. Every single one of us is a mess, but we try to not look like a mess. We try to act like we have everything together. But the truth is that we don't. We don't have it all together, and we have a mess. And here's the thing, every single one of us right now, we have a mess in our life. We have a mess in our marriage. We have a mess in our financial situations. We have a mess going on with our kids. We're in a mess at our job. Our health is a mess. Every single one of us this morning, we're a mess. But we walked in here this morning, you had a smile on your face. Somebody asked you how it was going on. You probably said, I'm fine, I'm good. But the truth is that you're not. The truth is that inside, you're a mess. And here's the thing that we talked about last week is that we're so ashamed of our messes, but the thing that we all wish would happen, the thing that we all wish would go down is that somebody else would call us and say, hey, I don't know about you right now, but I'm a mess. I feel like I'm in a mess with my kids. I feel like I'm over my head. I feel like this is too much going on. I don't know about you, but I have a messy marriage right now, and my marriage is just a mess. Man, how great it would be to hear somebody else admit that, because we could finally stop pretending and take off this mask that we're wearing and go, oh, I'm glad somebody else said it too, because I'm a mess. And here's the thing we all need to realize, is that we're all in the same boat. That we all are a mess, or at least are a decision or two away from being in a mess ourselves. And that's okay, because this mess is what is bringing us together today. This mess is something that we should handle and not put a mask over or try to hide or try to pretend isn't real, because here's the truth. God came for our messes. God came for our messes. God sent Jesus to help us address the mess. And the thing is that if we don't address it, there's some very, very big dangers with leaving a mess unaddressed. And we talked about two things. We talked about one is practical, one is spiritual. The practical reason is this, is because eventually a left mess leads to a disaster. A left mess leads to a disaster. You leave a mess alone long enough, you try to be a hot mess and pretend long enough, and eventually you'll lead to a disaster. And I gave you my definition of a disaster last week. It's something that you have to, a time when you have to replace something, or you have to redo something, or you have to rebuild something. And we don't want you to get to that point in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your job, in your own life, in your health, where you leave a mess unaddressed for so long that you've got to rebuild, you've got to replace, or you got to redo something. And so that is exactly why God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And the other second reason is because if we leave a mess unaddressed, we're really dumbing down, really watering down the gospel message. Because Jesus didn't come. Jesus came a lot and said, hey, everybody sinned. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And he made sure everybody knew they had a mess. But he didn't just come to die on the cross and forgive us of our messes. He came to clean them up. He came so that we could sin no more. He came so that we could be transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit and be cleaned of our mess. Not just forgiven of our mess, but cleaned of our mess. And so I've been sharing some personal stories every week about some of my messes. And since my mother was in town, I called my parents whenever we had to take Brayden to the ER, and they said that we couldn't take Olivia with us. So I called my mom and I said, my mom and dad, and I said, can you guys come? And so they came. So my dad left yesterday, and my mom is still here, but my mom was here, and I said, hey, Mom, I'm preaching this series called Messy Me. Can you tell me a time where I created a mess? You know, I mean, you've known me for a long time. What's the biggest mess you've ever seen? And she said, oh, the time that you lit the kitchen on fire. And I said, come again. It was such a bad experience. I almost had put it out of my mind. But so what happened was, is I was 18, right? And you know, remember when these kind of cups came out, these metal insulated cups that are so great. You know, they keep hot things hot and cold things cold. You know, they're like the Yeti type cups. They're great, right? Well, when these came out, I didn't quite understand the science that this is a big chunk of metal, and so I wanted to warm up some coffee. And so I filled up a cup like this, and I put it in the microwave, and I turned it on. And it immediately began to get very bright and sparkle, like a firework. It was quite pretty for a minute. And then the microwave caught on fire. And I just stood there and watched the microwave catch on fire. Something had to be done. We didn't keep fire extinguishers in our house. We do now. I wonder why. And so I called my sister, actually. She was downstairs, and I said, Brianna, my 16-year-old sister. I said, Brianna, come upstairs. And she's like, what? I'm like, it's on fire. What are we doing? So me and Brianna, and my mom recalls, she said, I heard something going on, and I ran downstairs, and then there you and your sister were just standing there, watching a microwave on fire. And it got pretty high, and the whole kitchen, my mother had just remodeled her kitchen. The whole ceiling was black, and they put it out and put baking powder all over it and everything, and it went out and everything. And so she said, that was my biggest mess I ever made. And I remember that now that my mother reminds me of it, and she's reminded me of it several times this weekend because now I've, you know, stirred that pot. And so she said, oh man, it was so bad. We kept wondering, is the kitchen ever going to be repairable? I mean, that ceiling, it was black. Is it ever going to be the same again? And I were just remembering, like, how are we going to get out of this mess? Like, how is this ever going to get fixed? And right now in your life, you may be in the same boat. You may be looking at a mess in your marriage, and you may be saying, I don't know how we're ever going to get this back to the way it was. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to fix this. I don't know if we're so far gone that we can ever forgive or clean up the mess. And things have been said and things have been done. And I don't know if this will ever be the same again. Or maybe you're so far gone in your finances that you're like, I don't know if we're ever going to get to the point where we once were. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to fix this. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to repair this. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about where we left off last week when we said that we have to address the mess and that our mess should draw us to God. Our mess should remind us of our need for God and call us kind of almost home, call us back to Him and motivate us to be with Him in worship and in prayer and in word, because we recognize that we can't handle the mess by ourselves. We need Him. We need Him to address the mess before this becomes a disaster, but also to take hold of the opportunity that Jesus has given us to not just be forgiven of the mess, but to clean up the mess and to be different. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about exactly what it looks like when we draw to God, because that's the beautiful thing about our mess. As unfortunate as it is, it's really an opportunity because it draws us near to God, but it also draws God near to us as well. And so we're going to look at some scripture verses, and the first one I want to look at with you is John 3:16, a verse that we all know. But in this verse, this is what it tells us: for this is how God so loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through. Here's the thing I want you to understand. Jesus came for your mess. You don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed of your mess. I have people, I have meetings and conversations and emails with people all the time. They're saying, you know what, something's going on, there's a mess, but I'm just so embarrassed to talk to somebody about it. I'm just so embarrassed to bring it up. You know, I don't want to take your time, or I don't know, I feel so ashamed. But here's the thing, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, because this is exactly why Jesus came to be our Savior. He came near to our messes so that we could draw to Him and we could meet Him halfway. And just as the Word said, God sent His Son in the world not to judge it. God already knew about your mess before you even spoke word about it. God knew you had a mess on your hands before you even knew you had a mess on your hands. And so here's the thing, we've got to meet Him as He's drawing near to us. Really, God's coming 90, and all we've got to do is come 10. And He's ready to address the mess with us. So what does that look like? What does it look like? How do we get out of a mess? I'm in the middle of a mess, Pastor. I'm ready to confess. Our marriage is a mess. Our finances are a mess. My life is a mess. My stress is a mess. My relationship with my kids is a mess. My job is a mess. How do I get myself out of this mess? Well, I think we can find the solution by looking at three different stories in the Bible of people who we're in very messy situations. The gospel's full of messy people. And really, the accounts of Jesus are just Jesus running into messy person after messy person. Even His disciples, 12 messy, messy people, much more qualified people there were. But He chose messy people because that's who He's here for. And that's why He's here for you. And that's why these stories are written down and have been saved, because they speak to us as well. So the first one I want to talk to you about is Zacchaeus, right? You guys remember Zacchaeus? If you grew up in church, Zacchaeus was a what? He was a wee little man, all right? Not politically correct, as we've said many times, right? Not politically correct. Somebody needs to change that song. But Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. What he really was is he was a tax collector. He was a tax collector, and he was really a thief, is who he was. That's the mess that he was in. Now, at the time, he didn't see it as a mess. He didn't see it as a problem, but he took advantage of people, and he stole from people. And one day Jesus was in town, and he was speaking. He was giving one of his sermons and lessons, and everybody there. And Zacchaeus, he was a little guy. I picture him being probably a little shorter than me, because I'm not that short. I'm average, okay? The rest of you are tall. And so he couldn't see over the people, a problem I don't ever have, okay? And so Zacchaeus, he couldn't see over the people, and so he climbed up, what kind of tree was it? Sycamore tree. Everybody who just spoke, you're going to heaven. Good job. No. But he climbed up a sycamore tree. And he climbed up the sycamore tree, and Jesus saw him. And it's so interesting. Jesus saw him. And you know that when Jesus saw him, he knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly what he had done, because he called him by name. He didn't have to ask who his name was. He called him by name. And so Jesus, as soon as he spotted him, he knew who he was, and he knew the mess that he was. So here's Jesus' opportunity. He sees Zacchaeus. He sees an opportunity. And what does he say to him? He says, Zacchaeus, come down and come with me. And he says, we're going to your house for dinner. Now, I want you to pick up on the theme as we go through each of these stories. He says, Zacchaeus, come down and come with me. Come with me. And then we don't know exactly what happened next. We know that they went home and that Jesus spent some time with Zacchaeus in his home. But then all of a sudden, Zacchaeus came out totally changed. Zacchaeus came out, this man who had taken advantage of people for years and years and years, stolen from people. He was a thief. He was a mess, probably not even aware that he was in a mess. But he came out, and he was completely aware that he was a mess. And he felt guilty. And he felt like he needed to change. And so he did. He changed his life. He began to follow Jesus. And then he says, I'm going to pay back everybody. And the law required you, if you'd stolen from somebody, the law required you to pay back them so much. But Zacchaeus, he went above and beyond. He paid, the Bible says that he paid back more than that was required of the law. He felt like he really needed to make it up to people and to pay people back. But he didn't want to just pay back what was required. He went above and beyond. He sacrificed and he gave all that he could in order to pay these people back and be able to make this right. And he cleaned up his mess. And then the second story, we go to Jesus' death on the cross. When we go to Jesus' death on the cross, we find Jesus on the cross, and there's two criminals hung next to him. There's a criminal on the right, there's a criminal on the left. Both of them, apparently their crimes were worthy of crucifixion. And so they're hanging there, and the two men are very, very different. One man begins to mock Jesus. And he says, hey, you're the Son of God, right? Use your powers to get us out of here. Use your powers to get us out of this mess. And the other man, he defends Jesus, and he backs the other guy off. And he says this in Luke 23, verse 41 and 42. He says, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man, Jesus, he hasn't done anything wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now I want to take a little time out, and just, these guys are perfect examples of who we are 99% of the time and who we ought to be. You take these two guys of example, let me ask you something. Which one are you? When you're in the midst of a mess, are you the guy who calls out, Jesus, I'm in a mess. Use your powers to get me out of this mess. Is that your prayer? Jesus, I'm in a mess. I'm in a real bind here. Use your powers to get me out of this mess. Or are you like the other guy? And I find it so interesting what the other guy was so different. Because what he did is he says, we deserve to die for our crimes. He turns to the other man and goes, look, you're shouting for Jesus to really take the bullet for us and to get us out of this mess, to use his powers. But here's the thing, man, we deserve this. We got ourselves into this mess. What is happening now? This is just a ripple effect that we made happen. And he says, he turns to Jesus and he doesn't say, Jesus, get me out of this mess. Use your superpowers to get us out of this. He turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, look, I got myself into this mess. I understand that what I'm doing, these are just the repercussions of what I did. But here's the thing, Jesus, here's all I ask of you is remember me when you go to your kingdom. Just remember me. When I die, will you meet me there? Will you know me? When you think on me, will you remember me? Will you be there for me? Will you remember me in your mind? Will you know me, God? All I ask, God, is that you don't forget about me. That's all I want. I just want you to know me, and I just want you to know my name, and I want you to know my face, and I want you to know my story, and I want you to know my heart right now. I know that the mess I'm in, I got myself in, and it's my fault. It's not on you, and I'm not blaming you, and I'm not blaming my ex, and I'm not blaming my kids, and I'm not blaming my boss. This is on me, and it's my mess, and all I ask is that you remember me. Do you see how different, how polar opposite the two men are? Because one man says, God, get me out of this mess. It's like he's treating God like AAA, right? And really, that's what we all want. We treat God like he's AAA. Hey, God, I'm in a jam. Okay, God, come in and fix this. And then he does, and we go, oh, thanks. I'll call you when I need you. But this man, he says, Jesus, I got myself into this mess. I know that. I understand that. And I confess that. And all I ask, God, is that you would remember me. Let me ask you, the last time you prayed to God in the midst of a mess, or maybe the mess you're in now, the last time you prayed and talked to God, what was your prayer? Was it, God, get me out of this mess? Was it, God, I understand. I made this mess. I did this. This is on me. All I ask is that you remember me. It's total polar opposites. Two different kinds of prayer. Two different kinds of people. And here's the thing we all need to understand this morning, is that whatever mess you're in, you need to own your part. I get it. Your part may be small, okay? They did what they did, and what they did was like completely wrong, but everybody's got a part to play, okay? Well, we've talked about this a lot of times. You got to own your slice of the pie, right? We drew a big pie and drew little slivers. You might be 1% of the problem. You might have been just a few decisions or a few words or something you did. You may just be a little bit, but you got to own that slice of the pie, however small or however big it may be. You've got to own that because you got yourself into this mess from decisions that you made, from advice you didn't take, from people who told you don't do that, don't go there, don't go with that person, from the sermon that you ignored, from the word and the scripture that you didn't pay attention to, or you didn't study hard enough, or you didn't take to heart. You got yourself partially into this mess. And so you got to own your part. And you got to say, you know what? Part of this is I'm getting what I deserve. This is a ripple effect. What did I think would happen when I said those words? Did I not think it would hurt them? What do you think would happen when you made that decision? What do you think would happen when you went with that guy, with that girl? What would you think would happen when you picked up that phone call? You made these decisions, and guess what? Decisions have effects on them. And so, you know what? I own that. I got myself partially into this mess. And I love Jesus' response. Jesus, he turns to this criminal who says this, and Jesus replied, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. Again, with me. You're going to be with me. The last little story I want to look at, the woman of the well. Again, a story that you may be familiar with. And again, you could pop in any of these names and you could read the whole story in your Bible. I'm kind of paraphrasing them a little bit. But there's a woman at the well, right? And Jesus meets this woman at the well. And he comes to her. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. And he comes to her and they begin to have a conversation. And the woman, she starts to open up a little bit about her life, and they're at a well, so, you know, Jesus is using the illustration of water, and Jesus asks the woman, he goes, so where's your husband? And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus goes, yeah, I know, you're a mess. You've actually had four, and the man you're living with right now, you're not even married to. She was a mess. She found her identity. And she found her sense of being loved, her affection, her identity in men and in having sex with them and romance that wasn't ever sticking or wasn't ever real. And so Jesus looked at this woman and she knew she was a mess. And as soon as he, you know, really just put everything out in the open, she just really was like, what in the world is going on here? And he explains this to her and he talks about living water. And he says, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know, I'm the living water. You're looking for water right now? I am the living water. I'm the water that if you come to, you do not thirst anymore. I can take care of everything. And he turns to the woman and he says, I am the living water. I'm the water that you need. I am what you've been looking for. All these things that you've been looking for in men and in relationships, it's always going to run dry. But me, I am the living water. Now you look at all three of these stories, right? Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, come down, come with me. To the criminal on the cross, he goes, you're going to be with me in paradise. To the woman at the well, he says, you know what, woman at the well? He goes, you're a mess right now, but here's the thing. I am what you need. I am the living water. I am the thing that you need. It's me that you've been looking for. In each of these situations, and we could go through story through story through story through story in the New Testament Gospels of messy people that Jesus ran into, the solution again and again and again to get out of the mess is being with Jesus, is following Jesus, is going with Jesus. He looks at them and goes, come with me. You're going to be with me. Walk with me. Come with me. I am what you need. Follow me. Actually, Jesus in the sermon, he really wrapped it up really well. When you look at the book of John, in John 8:12, he says this. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said this. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You want to know how to get out of your mess? The mess that you're in right now, relationally, financially, your health, your life, here's how you get out of a mess. You got to follow Jesus out of the mess. You got to go with him. You got to be with him. You got to take him up as the living water, and he's the thing that you need. He's the thing that you've been looking for, and you got to walk with him out of the darkness. He's the one with the light. And he's the one who can show us the path. We've gotten ourselves into this dark place, and he's the one who can get us out. But here's the thing I want you to understand about that. Don't take that as cliche. What's the answer to get out of the mess? Jesus. No, I understand this practically, okay? Don't just stay there. So you gotta really hone this in right now, okay? If I'm losing you, just really, really hone it in, okay? Really focus right now. Here's the thing, okay? The mess that you got yourself in, you did not get there overnight, okay? You did not get there overnight. And it didn't happen by magic, and it didn't happen by just circumstance. Here's the thing. You walked yourself into that mess. There were little things that you did, little steps that you took, where you put yourself You got yourself there. Just like the criminal on the cross. Hey, I'm getting what I deserve. I took steps to get here. I walked into this darkness. This darkness didn't just get thrown on me. This mess didn't just go, poop, there it is. Well, we just stopped loving each other, or I just started having problems with my kids, or I just started to have this addiction, or I just saw all of a sudden started to have this health problem. There were steps that you took where you walked into this mess. Things that you did. And so here's the thing you've got to understand. In the same way that you took steps to walk out or to walk into that mess, you've got to now take steps to walk out of that mess. The same way that you didn't get into that mess overnight, magically, you're not going to get yourself out of this mess, boom, magically. There's no prayer that you can pray to just pray yourself out of this mess. You've got to take steps and you've got to walk with Jesus out of this mess. Think about it. Doesn't it make sense? Where you are in your marriage, it started a long time ago. It started whenever you stopped having date nights, and then it stopped whenever you stopped trusting one another, and then it took a little step further in the way that you started to fight, and you started to handle it, and then you started to think lustfully about somebody else, and then you started reaching out and confiding in somebody else, and then you stopped talking about it, and then you were a hot mess, and you stopped dealing with it. And here's the thing, the mess that you're in, it started way back here. You're at about step 20 of walking yourself into that mess. And here's the thing, to fix that, it's going to take time and it's going to take steps that you have to take to walk yourself out. And the only way you can walk yourself out is by following Jesus. Is by looking at what the Word says and what Jesus says and His teachings and applying them to your marriage and taking step by step by step by step, following the light back into where you're supposed to be. It's not going to happen overnight. You walked yourself into this mess, and you got to walk with Him out of it. Teenagers, I'll speak to you specifically for a minute. Look, here's the thing. Academically, okay? Academically, your academic problem, it started a long time ago, okay? It started with like assignment 1 or 2, and then that test that you halfway cared about, and then that other test that you just bombed. And here's the thing you need to understand. There is not going to be one fix, one overnight solution to get you out of this academic mess. You have got to start taking steps. You got to start following Jesus, even in your academics, and you're going to have to walk your way back up to it. You don't get good grades just overnight. Not one solution is going to fix it. You've got to walk with Jesus, and you've got to follow that, and you've got to take the steps. That's the only way you can do it. That's how you get into a good college. That's how you're able to do well in college and to get a good job. It's by consistently taking the steps in the right direction and doing things the way that Jesus commands them to do. It's the same way in your health. It's the same way in your relationships with your finances, is that there's no quick fix. And so here's the thing. I think a lot of us as Christians, again, we treat God like He's AAA. And we expect to come to one service or one sermon or one aha moment and go, okay, let's fix it. Let's pray a magic prayer. Let's just do something and just and I'll wake up and it'll be like Dorothy, you know, and we'll be out of Oz and we'll be back in Kansas. But it's not the way it works. You took steps to walk yourself into this mess. But you got to follow Jesus out of it. And we've got to follow Him and apply His teachings to our life. And doesn't that make so much sense? I know we want God to be like a magic genie, but here's the thing that God cares about. God would rather have a relationship with you. You understand that, right? God would rather have a relationship with disobedient children than perfect children that never loved Him. God wants you to walk with Him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to apply His teachings and who He is to your life in order to help you take steps out of this dark place. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, He really just clenched it at the end. And this is what He said in Matthew 7 after He got done saying everything that He had said and all the different teachings. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." You know, we're working on our building right now, right? Rehabbing it and everything. And so I keep having these conversations in these meetings with Laura, who's the chair of our building committee and overseeing this. I keep going, Laura, when's it going to be done? Laura, when's it going to be done? Laura, when's this room going to be done? Laura, when's that going to be done? When are we fixing that, Laura? And you know what she keeps telling me? She keeps saying, she said it this morning. I think she's getting irritated with me. She's saying, it's a process. It's a process. We got to do the roof, and then we got to do the plaster, and then we can do the floors, and then we can do that. But it's a process. It's going to come, but it's a process. I've learned so much about plaster the last week, right? You got to do a coat, and then you got to do another coat. If you want it done right, it's a process. Here's the thing. Your mess, getting out of it, it's a process. You might be looking at God, you might be looking at me and go, just how do I get my marriage fixed? How do I get my finances fixed? How do I get my life fixed? How do I get rid of this attitude? How do I get rid of this sin? Here's the thing. It's a process. But here's the thing. You got to commit to the process to see it done. You got to commit to the process. Here's the thing. Jesus said, people who take the words that I'm sharing with you, the life that I'm sharing with you, the stories that I'm sharing with you, people who do it, they're like the wise man who built his house. It takes time to build something, right? You want out of the mess? You want a good marriage? You want a good financial situation? You want a good relationship with your kids? You want a good relationship with your parents again? Here's the thing. You got to build it. And building takes time. And building is a process. And building starts with a lot of different things. It starts from the foundation up. But he says, you know what? The people who do build, the people who do commit, the people who do follow me, not just every once in a while, but who really, truly do follow me, they're going to build their house and it's going to be immovable. That is going to be the marriage that lasts. That's going to be the marriage that never ends in divorce. That's going to be the marriage that is happy. That's going to be the people who have a great relationship with their kids. Those are going to be the people who have a financial situation that is stable and who can save and who honors God. These are going to be the people who are in great health and are going to live for a very, very long time. It's the people who make the decision to build the life that God wants to give them. And who continually and daily follow him. And he says, and the people who don't, they're going to end up in a mess. The people who don't, they're going to end up in a messy situation. But it takes building it. And it takes sticking with it. My wife this week, really 2 weeks ago, she wanted, have you ever heard of this Whole 30 diet? Whole 30? It's awful. Okay? It's the worst thing on the planet Earth. It's this diet where you cut out for 30 days, 30 whole days, you cut out sugar, bread, dairy, anything that tastes good, okay? Just stick with me. Anything that tastes good, you just throw it out the window, okay? Now, I've done other diets before. This is great, right? It's January, it's that time of year, let's do something healthy. But I do diets where you get to have a cheat day, right? You get to have a cheat day. And I like the Super Bowl's coming up. Super Bowl's cheat day, right? And when I do a cheat day, you do a cheat day. You do a cheat day right. You don't just eat pizza. You eat pizza. You eat ice cream. You eat a soda. You eat a sugary coffee drink, right? Like you just pile it in. And then the next morning, you're like, oh no. Bad, right? Where's the TP? I need some time alone, light a candle. And then you get back on it, but it's okay. It was worth it, right? And so I thought we were having cheat day. So we actually started this last week, 2 weeks ago, and I thought we were starting it. So we did it for 5 days, and I'm like, oh my goodness, right? And then I'm like, it's okay, only 4 more weeks to go. And Kate's like, oh no. It's my birthday on Saturday, and I want to go haywire at Guitar Rose and eat ice cream at Cold Stone Creamery. And so we're just doing a practice week. Because we got to do it the whole 30 days. We can't have a cheat day. We got to do it the whole 30 days. So we're just doing practice for 5 days. I said, practice? I don't practice diets. You do a diet. You don't practice a diet. You just do a diet. She's like, well, my birthday's going to screw it all up. And so we did. We started over on Monday, and we're on it again. And then Braden goes to the hospital Thursday night. And I'm stressing out, okay? And so I'm going, Kataro's is across the street, Starbucks is across the street, ice cream's across the street. I said, Kate, I'm stressing out. I need ice cream. All right? I'm going to Starbucks. I'm getting the sugariest, most frappuccino drink they got, and I'm bringing it back because it's going to make me feel better. And she said, nope, you can't do it. You do it, 30 days starts again tomorrow. And I said, are you joking me right now? And so you know what I did when I was stressed? I was like a little squirrel eating nuts in the corner, 3 a.m., listening to my son breathe, eating almonds. Do you know almonds don't help with stress? Almonds don't make you feel better about yourself, and there's no sugar in almonds, and it's terrible. I haven't had anyway. But she said, you got to stick with it. To see the results that you want, you got to stick with it. Here's the thing. If you want to see the results that you want, you got to stick with Jesus. You can't just follow Jesus casually. You can't just follow Jesus like a fad diet. Jesus is not AAA. You got to stick with him, and you got to follow him, and you got to walk with him to build the life that you want. It's not enough to just come to church every once in a while. It's not enough to just read your word when you feel like it. It's not enough to pray to him when you're in the midst of a mess. You got to follow him, and you got to stick with him. I've had this conversation with the leadership team when we purchased our building. When we purchased our building, we were praying about it and talking about it and trying to feel out what we should do. I warned the leadership team. And I said, I want you to know something. I said, this is going to really open the doors for our church. This is going to be a huge opportunity. And we're going to be able to reach more people for God in more creative ways and more frequently. And it's going to be great. But I want to warn you guys, because I've been down this road and I've done this once before. If we say yes to this building and we go down this road, we are going to be attacked spiritually. I told them, I said, people are going to leave our church. Things are going to go haywire in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our health. We are going to be attacked left and right because we are going to rattle Satan's cage, and he is going to become angry, and we are going to find a lot of messes. And nobody really said anything. But over the last 3 months, because I know all of you, because many of you have been talking to me, we have been attacked spiritually. And I have made appointment after appointment, lunch after lunch, phone call, email after email of people who have messes in their marriage right now, messes in their finances, messes in their life, messes in their health. I was at my pediatrician 5 times this week with my kids. I called 2 ambulances. I have more drugs in my fridge for my 2 kids than I have ever done before. I'm stressed. I know some of you are stressed. We have had people leave the church because of messy stuff going on in their life. And we are being attacked spiritually right now. And I know some of you in your marriages and in your lives and in your own health and in your own hearts, you're being attacked spiritually right now. But here's the thing that I keep finding comfort in and that I turn to is that in the midst of my mess, God is drawing near to me. And in the midst of my mess, the solution and the way to get out is to draw near to him. There are a lot of things that could distract me right now, a lot of things that could pull me away, but I continue to daily follow him. And there are so many people in this room who can testify to this. I heard Andy Stanley say it in my research for the sermon, and I thought it was so perfect, I had to steal it. He said, you know what? He said, there's so many people who have lived this story and who know this to be true, is that I messed up, I gaved up, and I looked up, and God showed up. That's awesome. I messed up, and I gave up, and I looked up, and God showed up. And I want each and every single one of you to know that right now, Satan is rattling your cage, and it's partially my fault. Actually, it's the leadership team's fault because their vote was bigger than mine. But you're being attacked spiritually right now. But the reason you're being attacked spiritually is because God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your kids. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for our church. God has a plan, and Satan doesn't like that. And Satan doesn't want to see you successful, and he doesn't want to see your family become whole, and he doesn't want to see peace and joy, and he doesn't certainly want you in the opportunity to be able to serve and help other people. And so he tries to knock you down and distract you, to take you away from the mission, to take you away from the church, to keep you at home, to get you to stop reading the Bible, to get you to stop praying to him, and to get you focused and selfish on yourself. But here's the thing. The way out of the mess is to follow him out of the mess. It's to build your life on his teachings and to make the wise decisions. And wise decision over wise decision over wise decision is what equals a successful, joyous, blessed life. And that is my prayer for every single one of you, because I know you're in a mess right now and I want to see you get out of it. And the way out is with him this morning. We're going to pray this morning, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. Because again, I've had to listen to my own words this week. My sermon last week, I replayed it to myself this week while I was at the hospital through our podcast, man. I was listening to it, and I'm like, who is this guy? He's smart. I got to listen. So I'm taking this in as much as you, because like I said last week, guys, I'm a mess, and you're a mess too. But every single one of us, the way out is by following him. So I'm going to invite Pastor Josh to come back up, and we're going to have a time of response. And I want you to just bow your heads for a moment. I want you to just bow your heads, and we're going to pray to God. And I want to give you a chance to respond today, because I know there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives right now. And this morning, I just want us to talk to God, and I want us to really have a time of reflection and talking to God. I want you to ask God right now, God, show me this morning where I'm a mess. God, this morning, look at my life. I may be like Zacchaeus this morning. I may not even know I'm in a mess. But God, you got my attention this morning. You've spoken to my heart this morning. God, where is it that I'm a mess? Maybe it's academically. It's maybe how I'm treating my education, my schoolwork. Maybe it's how I'm treating my friends. Maybe it's how I'm treating somebody I'm dating right now. Maybe I'm in a messy situation there. God, maybe it's in my marriage. God, is my marriage a mess right now? God, are my finances a mess right now? Am I honoring you with my finances? Or God, what can I do there? Whatever it is, God, ask, am I in a mess? Now ask God. God, now show me my part. Show me the things, the decisions I've made that have got me in this mess. Maybe a small part, maybe a big part. God, this morning, oh my goodness, I look at this. I got myself here. I did this. This is on me. God, these are decisions I made, and I acted myself into this mess. I'm the one who took steps into the darkness. Now this morning, what I want to do is I want you to repent of that mess. I want you to tell God, God, forgive me of those messy decisions that I made. God, do you see me? God, what I want you to do right now is I want you to know me. I want you to remember me. I want to hear you say that I am a child of God this morning. And God, this morning, I recognize that you are here. You have come near to me. I have walked into this regular auditorium that has turned into a place of worship, and God, I hear your spirit this morning. And God, I hear you speaking to me, and I see you here. And God, this morning, I'm confessing I have messed up, and I give up. I give up my way. I give up what I have done. And God, I give that up, and I am looking up, and God, I want you to show up in my life. If that's you this morning, if this morning you know you're in a mess and you're confessing this morning and you want to leave this place following God, applying his teachings and applying his word to your life to start to build the life you want with everybody's eyes closed and everybody's head bowed, if you're a mess this morning and you say, God, I'm a mess, but I want to follow you out of here. I want to see you raise your hand. You got to deal with it this morning. There you go. You need to deal with it right now. You know it in your life. You know you're a mess. You know you've made some messy situations. God, I'm a mess, and I want to follow you out of here. God, help us to confess that right now, because we need more of you. We want all of you. We want to stop doing things our way. We want to give that up. God, I'm a mess right now, and I need you. I want to follow you out of this mess. God, for the people who have raised their hand, who have been able to be honest and repent and to confess, God, I need you right now. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for that courage to do that. God, will you help every single one of us build the lives that we want, build the marriages that we want, build the relationship with our kids that we want through your ways, through your teachings, through being more like Christ. God, that's what we ask and that's what we want this morning. I pray for everybody in this room, God, who's being spiritually attacked. God, will you be with them this week and will you be with them as they leave here? God, we love you this morning. We praise things in your name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite the rest of the band up this morning. And I really do. I know in my own life there have been attacks. Things to distract me. But I want to encourage you. Don't become distracted right now. You know what? You need to come back next week. Don't let this just be a one-off. Come back next week. Continue to seek God. Continue to seek Him out. Continue to follow Him in your life. There are so many opportunities that you have to do that here at Anchored Hope and in your job and in your community and in places where God has set you up for success. So I want to encourage you to continue to follow Him this week. Let's stand together. We're going to sing one last song, and let's not just let it be a closing song, but let it be an anthem of praise for God, thanking Him and calling out for Him, calling for Him to come near to our lives.